Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
This is John Helmes, and I'm filling in for Caroline Wong this week. For those of you that do not know me, Caroline and I actually work together at Cobalt, and I will be the guest hosting today's podcast episode in her place. To give a little bit of background on myself, I am an individual with about 5 to 10 years of engineering, security experience in various domains such as DoD, military, offensive security, and vulnerability management. Today, I'm happy to have our guest, Dr. Gerald Osier. He's going to be talking a lot about his experiences and a lot of things with the topics of today. So, Dr. Osier, thanks again for being here.
Yeah, thank you, John. And thank you to ITSP Radio for having me on as a guest. I'm really excited about this. So just a little background on me so your listeners have some context. I've been working in the information security space for 17 years. I do have a PhD in cyber operations, which was a kind of a technical focus from Dakota State University. Go Trojans, right? Yep. And I'm really, really passionate about cybersecurity. It has been a field that has given me so much enjoyment and satisfaction and taken me to wild places. I've been to the South Pole. I've been to South America, New Zealand, all because of cybersecurity. And I currently help both an academic medical center with about 1,600 beds as an architect secure their, you know, their assets and their research and, you know, the data flows and all of those aspects that would, you know, you'd expect securing an organization of that size, as well as, and I hope we have time to talk about this, I run a YouTube channel where I'm really focused on helping people who want to get into cybersecurity understand exactly how to do it and how to find their own passion, just like I did.
Yeah. Awesome. And I love all that stuff. And I think that's where, you know, so, to give an interesting little nugget to everyone listening in is that how you and I actually know each other is because, you know, we do a lot of the same things in the community for information security. You have Simply Cyber, which is an amazing program to help give back, especially to those looking to get into the industry in multiple different parts of the industry, has where I look more at ways of to give back to the individuals looking to get into offensive security, especially because it's such a competitive field to get into. You know, you said Go Trojans. You're an alumni of the PhD of Cyber Operations program. I am currently a student in it, and you have been, you know, a great and amazing mentor to help me out as I've been going through the program. And then, you know, we just, you know, I think it's kind of funny, but we're kind of like the what's a good way to put it? The granola cyber enthusiast, where we want to give back to everyone, and we want to use all the knowledge that we have to not hold on to it and gatekeep it, but to give it back so that other individuals can help, you know, essentially fight the good fight that we're all fighting. And, you know, also in the longevity of it, you know, replace us whenever our time is up in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a significant need out there. We need more people with the skills to help us, you know, fight the fires, if you will, and really go from, I'd like to say, reactive security to proactive security and be able to really, you know, better defend in general. So yeah, absolutely. And it's really rewarding too, when you can impact people's lives and improve their situation. And it's very satisfying. So yeah, I know, you know, John.
Oh yeah. So, you know, speaking of, you know, helping people, helping organizations, it doesn't matter what you do in security. Honestly, you can be on the offensive side, the defensive side, the policy side. It doesn't matter. We are at our hearts. We are risk analysts, right? We associate risk and we look at it and we determine, you know, whatever the impact and severity of risk is. And then we illustrate that to the organizations we work with. So because we understand it, let's start talking about that. And, you know, when you look at a business, what is some of the things that they're doing wrong, especially when it's looking at how they view risk?
Yeah. So I don't know how much time we have, John, but this is a very complicated question. So, just as a little preface, my dissertation, which is essentially like a massive research project to get your PhD, my dissertation was looking at small businesses, specifically in the healthcare sector, and understanding why they are so terrible at information security. And it really kind of leads to an answer for your question here of what are businesses getting wrong? And it varies per business size and by industry, but I'll to kind of bring it up a little level to kind of generic themes. Smaller businesses, they don't have funding for IT staff, let alone information security. People listening to this may not realize it, but information security is a relatively new field in the industry. It's becoming incredibly important as we hyper interconnect businesses and life and social and just the way the world operates nowadays. But 15 years ago, when like the dot-com boom and all that, like information security didn't really exist. So there isn't a lot of there's programs now that are helping set it up, but a lot of people don't even realize that it's really a core kind of aspect and element that you should have. So at these smaller businesses, they don't even have IT in most cases. And there's a lot of, I don't want to call it ignorance, but just lack of awareness that, information technology and information security are two different things, and they often get confused as the same. Yes, there is overlap in information security with technology, right? You have to secure technology, but there's a whole other world of administrative processes and management and the way that the governance and the way that the cultural approach to information security and good behavior and not reusing passwords as a simple example. These are all important things that fall way outside of IT. So a lot of businesses that don't have the resources to have a dedicated information security person thinking for them, think that they've outsourced information security when they've outsourced IT. And this leads to like this gaping risk that businesses are accepting without really understanding what they're doing. Now, when you move this up into a larger business, a business that has information security staff, maybe they have one person responsible for it, and that's good. That's a good start. But oftentimes, again, information security struggles with demonstrating through KPIs and metrics what value it brings to the business, right? So information security is a cost center. It does not generate revenue for a business. So when you're looking at your line items, the executives, and they're saying, well, geez, information security wants $1 million for an endpoint detection and response service, or to outsource a SOC for 24/7 coverage, it's going to cost $1 million. How much, like, what did InfoSec do last year? Well, they didn't really do anything. Well, it looks like they did nothing because they were doing it right. There was nothing happening. There was nothing there. So it's only when you see these massive breaches, like, SolarWinds, for example, this just happened, and good on them. They came out and said what happened. Then they immediately hired Alex Stamos and Chris Krebs, former CISO for the United States, or, over CSA. Like, that costs money. Like, they're good guys, but they're not free, right? So you see massive commitments, financial commitments, after a problem has happened. So a lot of organizations don't suffer those harsh pains, so they don't see the value in investing until it's too late. It's a really weird dichotomy in the industry, but it's one that's proven out over and over again.
Yeah, 100%, man. To really highlight what you just said is information security is a new thing that, a lot of organizations are still catching up to understand, while the need to have it also scales quickly because these new attacks or chain exploits keep coming out and they get more advanced as time goes on. And yet organizations are still like, well, how do we associate risk? How do we assess risk? And how do we put a dollar amount on risk, right? And it puts a lot of the industry in like a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. And I love how you said, like, yeah, we didn't really, you don't see a big dollar amount because nothing happened because we were doing the right thing, right? So with doing the right thing, What does the skill set for the individuals that want to do that? What does that look like? And it can be, you know, agnostic to what it is, but I think it's really crucial that we understand that you have the right skill sets to do the right things rather than lacking the skill sets and then the wrong things happen and you have to have that reactive approach rather than the proactive approach.
Yeah. So it is interesting, right? You're seeing some online education platforms come out with a curriculum that you can take. You're also seeing like simulation platforms. I don't want to use a name, but there's different simulation platforms where you can get those skills, both on the blue side, meaning defensive security operations, IR, and also on the red side, which has been around for quite a while, the offensive pen testing and stuff like this. So there is a increase in that curriculum. What I would say is if, you know, people, one of the kind of the ugly truths or like the often not spoken of, you know, deals with information security is like, how do you on-ramp into information security? It's much like it's different from other fields in various ways that we've already covered. It's different in that you kind of need to understand technology, not for all jobs within information security. Okay. There is policy, there is compliance. There's a whole host of jobs that we could talk about ad nauseum and we'll touch on them after, but a lot of the jobs required you have some comprehension of technology. And I'll tell you why. If you don't understand how something is supposed to work correctly, then how do you understand how to break it or when it's performing in a way that is not correct? If you don't have the context, how do you know that it's being hacked right now or that it's been compromised? You don't. So that is one of those concerns where you'll see a lot of people in InfoSec, they will on-ramp from a technology position, right? So a network engineer comes in or an IT server admin comes in. Those type of things. So that's one of those things where you can, if you parlay into that, and if you don't have an IT background, but you are interested, you know, go learn how networking works. You don't have to be a network engineer, but you need to understand those foundational type of skills. I also hear, you know, programming. I don't know, John, I'd like your thoughts on this after, but people say, oh, do I need to know programming? I advocate that you don't need to know programming to be successful in information security. You should know how to read code at some point, but writing code is not really a deal breaker. So getting some of these foundational skills is critical for you to, you know, kind of be able to then take on this additional level of curriculum and education and stuff like that. And there's all sorts of entry-level certifications like the Security Plus, which is quite popular in the field, that's seen as an entry-level certification. And when I am looking to hire entry-level candidates, I look for the Security Plus. It's not a gatekeeper thing, right? If you can be excellent in other capacities and that will weigh accordingly. But the Security Plus to me, demonstrates knowledge and it demonstrates commitment. You went and studied and took that test because you care about a cyber career.
Yeah, man, 100%. To all of that, the big thing that I wanted to mention, you know, was you had directly asked, and I wanted, and I'll chime in on that, is like with programming, you only need to know programming if the job you want requires it, right? You don't. And I think as someone, when you're looking at individuals who are trying to get into the field, I think we see it as, you know, we see the individuals that think they have to go be a cert collector and they just start getting aimless amounts of certs with no real intention on the goal of what those certs are going to provide. They think they need to get all these certs because that's what's going to get them the job, the title, the raise, the money, whatever it is that they want, right? And I think the first thing that you got to do is you really got to think about what is it that you like? What is it that you like about InfoSec? What is it that caters to your interest? Is it, you know, sitting there, you know, doing pen testing? Is it sitting in there collaborating in a security operations command environment where you're looking at things in real time? Do you want to write policies? Do you want to work in GRC? The list goes on and on, right? But some of those things would require you to know programming. Some might not. Do I think it's good to understand how to read it? Of course. It would help out when you're having to do any kind of reviewing, especially of code, to know how to read it. But even if it's not going to be technically part of your job, when you're reading code, you learn to be very analytical and detailed in your reading comprehension. So no matter what you're doing in cyber, that attribute's going to help you out in your career. Of course, you know, there's going to be roles where, like, if you're an application security engineer, you should have a software and development background to do that. Or a pen tester. Yeah, you should know at least a couple coding languages. I think it's good to know a high level language such as Python, Ruby, and then a low level language like Java or C. And then, you know, the list goes on and on. But really, it's just you need to find out what it is that you want to do. Look at the organizations that you want to go work for and look at the skill sets that you need to have for that position. And go and do that, because that's going to be your direct path of trajectory to that position and to whatever it is that your end goal is. That's my thoughts. I'd love to know your thoughts on
that. No, I agree with you 100%. And I will, you know, point out that maybe you don't know what you want, right? Like, you know, if you know what you want, then go for it and, you know, good on you. There's resources for you. But if you just know that cybersecurity is hot and you want a better situation for yourself and you know that there's jobs, as we've already covered, but you don't know what you want, there's a couple of things you can do, right? So a couple of things is you can dabble, right? You could do like a SOC 1 type training on one of these training platforms and see what it is. Or you could do one of these platforms. Again, I'm trying to stay vendor agnostic, but where they have vulnerable machines that you hack into and capture a flag and demonstrate your skill with and they have various levels of difficulty. And this is pen testing essentially, right? So you can kind of dabble on what those works are. Now for something a little bit more challenging, or not challenging, but difficult to remedy or do, well, actually, you know what? Audit. So auditing is a job that I did for a few years. And, you know, it's easy enough, just download an audit standard and audit your own home workstation, right? Sounds a little boring, because what's the point? But like, that's the job. So if you find it boring and I want to rip my hair out, then guess what? You shouldn't go get the ISACA CISA certification to become a certified auditor, because you already know you don't want it. Now, I do want to spend a moment talking about something that I'm really passionate about. And I believe if you're not sure where you are, and you want to like dabble in something that I believe is going to be incredibly in demand, incredibly lucrative, it is around cloud. Now, cloud has been around for a while, right? Here is something that you may not know. And I didn't know about it until I, you know, really got introduced to it. Like, your approach to securing infrastructure, quote unquote, on-premise type architecture, which has been the norm since like the 50s. When cloud came out, it was like, oh, we're just going to have our email up there. Oh, we're just going to have this service up there. Now, entire businesses are building, like Netflix is in AWS. Their entire business, everything that you watch on Netflix is coming out of AWS. So the skill set to harden and secure on-prem is a different world from cloud. And like, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I've got a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. Like, cloud is something that I am not confident in my ability to, you know, run a architecture security program for right now. Like, I'd love to get more information, because it is such a different paradigm. So if you're looking to like kind of strike it rich on what's going to be hot in a couple of years, a lot of businesses are already using cloud. I've looked at the projections. More of them are going to move their entire business or start up and go into them, into cloud. So the demand is going to be sky high. And the old people like me, who have all the years of experience, isn't going to mean too much, because the cloud is different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because one, that's a perfect way to like segue the conversation from, you know, starting at like what it is that you need to do to like what's the hot topic and where's that hot topic going, and how's that going to saturate the industry. And cloud is there. That is it. It's cloud. Everything is cloud, because everything that we do can before the cloud can shift into the cloud. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of organizations do that. However, like you just said, like, you throwing everything in the cloud doesn't necessarily mean it's secure. It doesn't mean it's better. It just means the infrastructure is different, right? The overall enterprise architecture, how everything is set up, is completely different. And you know, with that means that, you know, I was having a conversation about that with someone today with pen testing AWS, and it's, you know, you can have a web server up on an EC2 instance, But say you have that web server up and the web server isn't vulnerable. Okay, cool. Now you can go check at the network level. Okay, cool. Like the network level, it's fine. In a traditional pen test or a traditional security assessment, that would check all the boxes. But now that you throw the cloud environment in there, now you need to actually go log into the console of that cloud environment and really understand the cloud architecture, the infrastructure, and the setup, and actually, you know, assess, audit that part of the infrastructure being the cloud environment. So it actually adds another layer that you have to worry about, right? It's implementing something, another asset into the environment.
And a lot of people don't think about it, right? I mean, you know, that you give your global admin of your AD infrastructure the keys to the tenant up in the cloud, and you just assume that they did it right and that no one's going to notice. But yeah, and it's not just, you know, the servers themselves, you know, these cloud services, part of the reason they're so desirable is because they offer platform as a service. So I'll give you a good example. You can do some like crazy big data crunching, scale up and scale down to do like all sorts of wild, crazy research, you know, in the healthcare sector specifically. That's fine. But like in a traditional environment, you know, you can put your arms around the data. You just got supercomputers over here crunching it, but your arms are still around the data. When you start doing it up in these PaaS services, where is your data going? Like you can't draw a straight line to where your data is necessarily going. And then you're having to rely on agreements and stuff like that. And that, you know, that's not as secure as a technical control ever. So it's really a different environment. But yeah, so cloud is hot for sure.
Do you think it would be beneficial? And I think this is a good question to ask because while we didn't divulge it into our introductions, you know, you and I both work in academia, has adjunct professors at various universities. You know, in working in cyber curriculums, the cloud courses in it are either non-existent or very slim. Like there's not a dedicated cloud course typically. It's like, oh yeah. And in weeks one and two of this 12-week course, we're going to talk about cloud a little bit. I think it's good to say that like moving forward, curriculums are going to actually have to start developing various security courses that touch on cloud or even cloud courses that are completely security focused as we move forward, because we have to understand how to secure cloud infrastructure. We have to, and to do that, you have to understand the creator and the creations of the creator, right? And so being, you know, AWS would be the creator, and then the hundreds of services provided in AWS, then you have to go and understand those. You have to understand, you know, the platforms with, or the platform in general. And then also like, you know, how do you write policies to various services and what do those look like? And you know, the simple, like, hey, a public S3 bucket doesn't necessarily mean it's public to the internal infrastructure. It means it's public to the world.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, you know, silly and simple, but you know, as someone who is writing a dissertation around cloud security and doing qualitative interviews with people, that's a big problem that comes up when you're securing the cloud is totally different than securing typical infrastructure. If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's echoing the point I just made. It like, it's absolutely different. And you know, what's really interesting, you talked about the more traditional bachelor's degree curriculum. If you look at kind of the evolution of it, you saw computer science with no security. Then you saw computer science in the early 2000s would have a security class or two as part of the program, usually as an elective. Now you're seeing computer science with a security class as a required curriculum, and you're seeing cybersecurity degrees, like full curriculum coming out. So you're seeing this evolution in the higher ed space of what that education looks like. And I agree that there will be a cloud course probably coming, but what's really interesting is the shakeup in the, I don't want to call it the shakeup in higher ed, but the shakeup in what is curriculum nowadays. Because if you look, AWS and Azure does it too, but AWS is really the most front running with it. they have an entire curriculum all unto itself of AWS and becoming an AWS engineer and becoming AWS security, you know, security analyst and then security engineer and then security architect. Like, they have an entire curriculum built that basically mimics a traditional, you know, curriculum track on becoming an expert in just their platform. And if you think about it, they want you to get that education because they want people with tons of knowledge like that in the industry going to work at places and saying, oh, you guys ready to go to cloud? I know AWS, let's go. You know, like, so it's in AWS's best interest to continue to promote that curriculum, but they're doing it. And it's a better, I don't want to call it a better, it is a different on-ramp for people than the traditional four-year undergrad, which does not work for everybody. And in 2021, it doesn't need to work for everybody. There are so many on-ramps into cybersecurity.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's amazing because universities are, you know, looking at the business needs of what the industry needs, and they're creating curriculums that are going to fill in seats for the needs of that industry, right? And it's not all about just like, yes, you're going to come here and you're going to get a great education. It's no, you're going to come here and you're going to learn what you need to learn to go make an impact in the industry. And, you know, I think, you know, cloud is one way of how they're doing that. You know, the other thing is too, you talked about now there's cybersecurity degrees. That wasn't a thing 10 years ago. Not only is there cybersecurity degrees, there are subsets of cybersecurity that have degrees, such as, you know, cyber operations. There's a, you know, DSU has the PhD program in that. That's essentially saying, hey, you can come get a PhD in what's basically offensive security. That wouldn't have been around 10 years ago. And the fact that, you know, you can do that for cyber defense, you can do that, you can do a business degree with a focus in information systems or information security. Like, it's interesting that, like, that's the way how the training is going and how it's actually, you know, trying its best to keep up with the needs of the industry.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. I really feel like there is this, I don't want to call it the golden age, but like, it's really the golden age of opportunity for people to get in cybersecurity, which is part of the reason why, like, I love Simply Cyber and I love being able to engage with the community in a topic that I am super passionate about. But like, literally, there's so much platforms and simulation and labs and like, and a lot of it's free. Like with COVID, conferences weren't in person, they were virtual. So you could go to like, you could go to a conference in Las Vegas, you could go to a conference in Austin, Texas, and be in your home. And it, like, you didn't have to pay for travel. Like, think about what the barriers are to people getting into cybersecurity, like the real barriers: money, it costs too much, time, I don't have it. Like, I can't get, like, location, I can't get to Las Vegas, A, because it costs money, and B, it takes time, like, C, reason one and two. So these barriers have kept people from being able to pursue these opportunities. And in today's day and age, John, you know it as well as I do, like, yeah, there are some pay for curriculum opportunities that are more geared, but with YouTube and, you know, like, all these platforms that are pushing out training, and there's experts out in the field who are doing talks and conferences being free. I mean, it's literally, you know what? It's become, the onus is on you as an individual. Do you actually want this, or do you just want to complain about your situation and want to get into cybersecurity? Because the opportunity is there for you to take it. So it's like I said, it's a golden age right now for cybersecurity, because not only is all this curriculum up in your face and available and accessible, but the jobs are there. Like, and just to like resonate with like how everything is coming together, like in the most beautiful orchestrated way with COVID, the idea that a remote workforce works has been proven. And we're seeing this all over the place with traditional, businesses that had offices realizing that they don't need to pay commercial rent anymore and lease space. They can have a remote workforce. So now the scope of your jobs that you can even apply to is way, way bigger. And I mean, that's just, oh man, what a great time to be into cybersecurity.
We're in the digital gold rush.
It is. It really is, man.
Yeah, man. It's crazy the times that we live in, and the opportunities are endless. And, you know, we do got to start closing out, but I think the big takeaway from that is that for any individuals that are looking to best strategize their way of, you know, getting into the field, is look at the skill sets of the jobs that you think you want to do. As you mentioned, if you think you want to do it, there's probably a home remedy that you can test out. If you think you want to get into pen testing, cool. Go sign up for Hack the Box and go play around with it. If you can sit there and do a bunch of challenges day in and day out, you're going to love pen testing. If you don't, you know, you gotta eat a piece of humble pie and try something else. Or if you want to do, you know, something like network analysis, or you want to work in a SOC, okay, cool. Set up your own home network. See what happens.
Yeah, or if you don't have that IT skill, go to a platform like Rangeforce and try it. I mean, there's just so much opportunity. And by the way, we didn't really talk on this, and I know we're closing out, but there's a rich community of people. There was some toxicity back in the day. A lot of that has been just saturated out with so many great people. There are so many people in the field who want to help. John and I are just two. I can tell you personally, I know lots of people who want to help you succeed in cybersecurity. So, you know, engage the community. You might find someone who's got, is doing the job that you think you want, and you can talk to them and say, hey, what's that job actually like? What's great about it? What's bad about it? Like, help me out, you know, and it just take it from there.
Yeah, 100%. I know there's many like us, and like even to an even fuller extent, like if, you know, it's something that like could be solved in a 30-minute Zoom meeting. I know like I have individuals hit me up all the time. And if it's a more, you know, it's a question that would be easier to answer over just a quick Zoom meeting, I just throw out a calendar link to them and say, hey, find a time on my calendar that works for both of us, and let's actually talk about this and see how we can get you into the industry, right? So, you know, that's a great point. You know, the industry is chopped full of individuals just like us that are willing to help out and make sure that you can get into the field, because we understand that the field needs people. And not only the field needs people, but businesses need people, so that we're not seeing, you know, issues such as like the solar winds come up. Because that's essentially what our job is to do, is to make sure that we are making organizations, you know, more secure, competitive, and just better health all overall, right? So, and there's just so many different ways of how to do it, which, you know, I think we've done quite a bit to talk on all those points. And of course, you know, for anybody listening, if they want to find out more, they can reach out to us. So, you know, Dr. Ogier, if you want, please share out to the listeners of where they could find you if they want to get some more nuggets out of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on LinkedIn. It's Gerald Ogier, A-U-G-E-R. You can't miss it. And obviously on Simply Cyber, I have been producing that for over a year. So there's like maybe 50 or 60, you know, episodes that dive into all sorts of various topics. And really the geared audience, or the audience's focus, is, you know, if you're not in the field yet, or you're just a few years into the field, so that that content would be perfect for you. And I, you know, I engage with the comments, and you can DM me on LinkedIn, and, you know, I'll chat with you. So hit me up.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Dr. Ogier. It was awesome to have you on the show today. Again, my name is John Helmis. I'm here substituting for Caroline Wong on ITSP Radio, and we'll catch everyone around.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.